John tells the good news. Chapter 1.
In the beginning was the one who is called the Word. The Word was with God and was truly God. From the very beginning the Word was with God. And with this Word God created all things. Nothing was made without the Word. Everything that was created received its life from Him, and His life gave light to everyone. The light keeps shining in the dark, and darkness has never put it out.
God sent a man named John, who came to tell about the light, and to lead all people to our faith.
John wasn't that light. He came only to tell about the light. The true light that shines on everyone was coming into the world. The Word was in the world, but no one knew him, though God had made the world with his Word. He came into his own world, but his own nation did not welcome him.
Yet some people accepted him and put their faith in him. So he gave them the right to be the children of God. They were not God's children by nature or because of any human desires. God himself was the one who made them his children.
The Word became a human being and lived here with us. We saw his true glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father. From him all the kindness and all the truth of God have come down to us. John spoke about him
and shouted, "This is the one I told you would come. He is greater than I am, because he was alive before I was born."
Because of all that the Son is, we have been given one blessing after another. The law was given by Moses, but Jesus Christ brought us undeserved kindness and truth. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, who is truly God and is closest to the Father, has shown us what God is like.
The Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and temple helpers to ask John who he was.
He told them plainly, "I am not the Messiah."
Then when they asked him if he were Elijah, he said,
"No, I am not."
And when they asked if he were the prophet,
he also said, "No."
Finally, they said, "Who are you then? We have to give an answer to the ones who sent us. Tell us who you are."
John answered in the words of the prophet Isaiah, "I am only someone shouting in the desert, 'Get the road ready for the Lord.'"
Some Pharisees had also been sent to John. They asked him, "Why are you baptizing people if you're not the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet?"
John told them, "I use water to baptize people, but here with you is someone you don't know. Even though I came first, I am not good enough to untie his sandals."
John said this as he was baptizing east of the Jordan River in Bethany. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said,
"Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I told you about when I said someone else will come. He's greater than I am because he was alive before I was born. I didn't know who he was, but I came to baptize you with water so that everyone in Israel would see him. I was there and saw the Spirit come down on him like a dove from heaven. And the Spirit stayed on him. Before this, I didn't know who he was. But the one who sent me to baptize with water had told me, 'You will see the Spirit come down and stay on someone. Then you will know that he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I saw this happen. And I tell you that he is the Son of God."
The next day, John was there again, and two of his followers were with him. When he saw Jesus walking by, he said,
"Here is the Lamb of God."
John's two followers heard him, and they went with Jesus.
When Jesus turned and saw them, he asked, "What do you want?"
They answered, "Rabbi, where do you live?"
The Hebrew word rabbi means teacher.
Jesus replied, "Come and see."
It was already about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him and saw where he lived, so they stayed on for the rest of the day.
One of the two men who had heard John and had gone with Jesus was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother and tell him, "We found the Messiah."
The Hebrew word Messiah means the same as the Greek word Christ.
Andrew brought his brother to Jesus.
And when Jesus saw him, he said, Simon, son of John, you will be called Cephas.
This name can be translated as Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. There he met Philip, who was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Jesus said to Philip,
Come with me.
Philip then found Nathanael and said, We have found the one that Moses and the prophets wrote about. He's Jesus, the son of Joseph, from Nazareth.
Nathanael asked, Can anything good come from Nazareth?
Philip answered, Come and see.
When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said, Here is a true descendant of our ancestor Israel, and he isn't deceitful.
How do you know me? Nathanael asked.
Jesus answered, Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree.
Nathanael said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God and the King of Israel.
Jesus answered, Did you believe me just because I said that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see something even greater. I tell you for certain that you will see heaven open and God's angels going up and coming down on the Son of Man.
John, chapter 2.
3 days later, Mary, the mother of Jesus,
was at a wedding feast in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited and were there.
When the wine was all gone, Mary said to Jesus,
They don't have any more wine.
Jesus replied, Mother, my time hasn't yet come. You must not tell me what to do.
Mary then said to the servants, Do whatever Jesus tells you to do.
At the feast, there were 6 stone water jars that were used by the people for washing themselves in the way that their religion said they must. Each jar held about 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants to fill them to the top with water. Then after the jars had been filled, he said,
Now take some water and give it to the man in charge of the feast.
The servants did as Jesus told them, and the man in charge drank some of the water that had now turned into wine.
He did not know where the wine had come from.
But the servants did.
He called the bridegroom over and said, The best wine is always served first. Then after the guests have had plenty, the other wine is served. But you have kept the best until last.
This was Jesus' first miracle, and he did it in the village of Cana in Galilee. There Jesus showed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. After this, he went with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples to the town of Capernaum, where they stayed for a few days. Not long before the Jewish festival of Passover, Jesus went to Jerusalem. There he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves in the temple. He also saw money changers sitting at their tables. So he took some rope and made a whip. Then he chased everyone out of the temple, together with their sheep and cattle. He turned over the tables of the money changers and scattered their coins. Jesus said to the people who had been selling doves,
Get those doves out of here! Don't make my Father's house a marketplace!
The disciples then remembered that the scriptures say,
My love for your house burns in me like a fire.
The Jewish leaders asked Jesus, What miracle will you work to show us why you have done this?
Destroy this temple, Jesus answered, and in 3 days I will build it again.
The leaders replied, It took 46 years to build this temple. What makes you think you can rebuild it in 3 days?
But Jesus was talking about his body as a temple. And when he was raised from death, his disciples remembered what he had told them. Then they believed the scriptures and the words of Jesus. In Jerusalem during Passover, many people put their faith in Jesus because they saw him work miracles.
But Jesus knew what was in their hearts, and he would not let them have power over him.
No one had to tell him what people were like. He already knew.
John, chapter 3.
There was a man named Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee and a Jewish leader. One night he went to Jesus and said, "Sir, we know that God has sent you to teach us. You could not work these miracles unless God were with you."
Jesus replied, "I tell you for certain that you must be born from above before you can see God's kingdom."
Nicodemus asked, "How can a grown man ever be born a second time?"
Jesus answered, "I tell you for certain that before you can get into God's kingdom, you must be born not only by water, but by the Spirit. Humans give life to their children, yet only God's Spirit can change you into a child of God. Don't be surprised when I say that you must be born from above. Only God's Spirit gives new life. The Spirit is like the wind that blows wherever it wants to. You can hear the wind, but you don't know where it comes from or where it is going."
How can this be?" Nicodemus asked.
Jesus replied, "How can you be a teacher of Israel and not know these things? I tell you for certain that we know what we are talking about because we have seen it ourselves. But none of you will accept what we say. If you don't believe when I talk to you about things on earth, how can you possibly believe if I talk to you about things in heaven? No one has gone up to heaven except the Son of Man, who came down from there. And the Son of Man must be lifted up, just as that metal snake was lifted up by Moses in the desert. Then everyone who has faith in the Son of Man will have eternal life. God loved the people of this world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who has faith in him will have eternal life and never really die. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn its people. He sent him to save them. No one who has faith in God's Son will be condemned, but everyone who doesn't have faith in him has already been condemned for not having faith in God's only Son. The light has come into the world, and people who do evil things are judged guilty because they love the dark more than the light. People who do evil hate the light and won't come to the light because it clearly shows what they have done. But everyone who lives by the truth will come to the light because they want others to know that God is really the one doing what they do."
Later, Jesus and his disciples went to Judea, where he stayed with them for a while and was baptizing people. John had not yet been put in jail. He was at Enon near Salim, where there was a lot of water, and people were coming there for John to baptize them.
John's followers got into an argument with a Jewish man about a ceremony of washing.
They went to John and said,
"Rabbi, you spoke about a man when you were with him east of the Jordan.
He is now baptizing people and everyone is going to him."
John replied, "No one can do anything unless God in heaven allows it. You surely remember how I told you that I am not the Messiah. I am only the one sent ahead of him. At a wedding, the groom is the one who gets married. The best man is glad just to be there and to hear the groom's voice. That's why I am so glad. Jesus must become more important while I become less important. God's Son comes from heaven and is above all others. Everyone who comes from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks about earthly things. The one who comes from heaven is above all others. He speaks about what he has seen and heard, and yet no one believes him. But everyone who does believe him has shown that God is truthful. The Son was sent to speak God's message, and he has been given the full power of God's Spirit. The Father loves the Son and has given him everything. Everyone who has faith in the Son has eternal life, but no one who rejects him will ever share in that life. And God will be angry with them forever.
John, chapter 4.
Jesus knew that the Pharisees had heard that he was winning and baptizing more followers than John was. But Jesus' disciples were really the ones doing the baptizing and not Jesus himself. Jesus left Judea and started for Galilee again. This time he had to go through Samaria, and on his way he came to the town of Sychar. It was near the field that Jacob had long ago given to his son Joseph. The well that Jacob had dug was still there, and Jesus sat down beside it because he was tired from travelling. It was noon, and after Jesus' disciples had gone into town to buy some food, a Samaritan woman came to draw water from the well. Jesus asked her,
"Would you please give me a drink of water?"
"You are a Jew," she replied, "and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink of water when Jews and Samaritans won't have anything to do with each other?"
Jesus answered, "You don't know what God wants to give you, and you don't know who is asking you for a drink. If you did, you would ask me for the water that gives life."
"Sir," the woman said, "you don't even have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where are you going to get this life-giving water? Our ancestor Jacob dug this well for us, and his family and animals got water from it. Are you greater than Jacob?"
Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again. But no one who drinks the water I give will ever be thirsty again. The water I give is like a flowing fountain that gives eternal life."
The woman replied, "Sir, please give me a drink of that water. Then I won't get thirsty and have to come to this well again."
Jesus told her, "Go and bring your husband."
The woman answered, "I don't have a husband."
"That's right," Jesus replied. "You're telling the truth. You don't have a husband. You have already been married 5 times, and the man you are now living with isn't your husband."
The woman said, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. My ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say Jerusalem is the only place to worship."
Jesus said to her, "Believe me, the time is coming when you won't worship the Father either on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans don't really know the one you worship. But we Jews do know the God we worship. And by using us, God will save the world. But a time is coming, and it is already here. Even now, the true worshippers are being led by the Spirit to worship the Father according to the truth. These are the ones the Father is seeking to worship him. God is Spirit, and those who worship God must be led by the Spirit to worship him according to the truth."
The woman said, "I know that the Messiah will come. He is the one we call Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us."
"I am that one," Jesus told her, "and I am speaking to you now."
The disciples returned about this time and were surprised to find Jesus talking with a woman. But none of them asked him what he wanted or why he was talking with her. The woman left her water jar and ran back into town. She said to the people,
"Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. Could he be the Messiah?"
Everyone in town went out to see Jesus. While this was happening, Jesus' disciples were saying to him,
"Teacher, please eat something."
But Jesus told them, "I have food that you don't know anything about."
His disciples started asking each other, "Has someone brought him something to eat?"
Jesus said, "My food is to do what God wants. He is the one who sent me, and I must finish the work that he gave me to do. You may say that there are still 4 months until harvest time. But I tell you to look, and you will see that the fields are ripe and ready to harvest. Even now the harvest workers are receiving their reward by gathering a harvest that brings eternal life. Then everyone who planted the seed and everyone who harvests the crop will celebrate together. So the saying proves true. Some plant the seed and others harvest the crop. I am sending you to harvest crops in fields where others have done all the hard work.
A lot of Samaritans in that town put their faith in Jesus because the woman had said, "This man told me everything I have ever done." They came and asked him to stay in their town, and he stayed on for 2 days. Many more Samaritans put their faith in Jesus because of what they heard him say. They told the woman,
"We no longer have faith in Jesus just because of what you told us. We've heard him ourselves, and we're certain that he is the Saviour of the world."
Jesus had said, "Prophets are honoured everywhere except in their own country." Then 2 days later, he left and went to Galilee. The people there welcomed him because they had gone to the festival in Jerusalem and had seen everything he had done. While Jesus was in Galilee, he returned to the village of Cana, where he had turned the water into wine. There was an official in Capernaum whose son was sick.
And when the man heard that Jesus had come from Judea, he went and begged him to keep his son from dying.
Jesus told the official, "You won't have faith unless you see miracles and wonders."
The man replied, "Lord, please come before my son dies."
Jesus then said, "Your son will live. Go on home to him."
The man believed Jesus and started back home.
Some of the official servants met him along the road and told him, "Your son is better."
He asked them when the boy got better.
And they answered, "The fever left him yesterday at 1 o'clock.
The boy's father realised that at 1 o'clock the day before, Jesus had told him, "Your son will live." So the man and everyone in his family put their faith in Jesus.
This was the second miracle that Jesus worked after he left Judea and went to Galilee.
John, chapter 5.
Later, Jesus went to Jerusalem for another Jewish festival. In the city near the Sheep Gate was a pool with 5 porches, and its name in Hebrew was Bethesda. Many sick, blind, lame, and crippled people were lying close to the pool.
Beside the pool was a man who'd been sick for 38 years.
When Jesus saw the man and realized that he had been crippled for a long time, he asked him,
"Do you want to be healed?"
The man answered, "Lord, I do not have anyone to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. I try to get in, but someone else always gets there first."
Jesus told him, "Pick up your mat and walk."
Right then, the man was healed. He picked up his mat and started walking around. The day on which this happened was a Sabbath.
When the Jewish leaders saw the man carrying his mat, they said to him, "This is the Sabbath.
No one is allowed to carry a mat on the Sabbath."
But he replied, "The man who healed me told me to pick up my mat and walk."
They asked him, "Who is this man that told you to pick up your mat and walk?"
But he did not know who Jesus was, and Jesus had left because of the crowd. Later, Jesus met the man in the temple and told him,
"You are now well, but don't sin anymore, or something worse might happen to you."
The man left and told the leaders that Jesus was the one who had healed him. They started making a lot of trouble for Jesus because he did things like this on the Sabbath.
But Jesus said, "My Father has never stopped working, and that is why I keep on working."
Now the leaders wanted to kill Jesus for 2 reasons. First, he had broken the law of the Sabbath.
But even worse, he had said that God was his Father, which made him equal with God.
Jesus told the people, "I tell you for certain that the Son cannot do anything on his own. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, and he does exactly what he sees the Father do. The Father loves the Son and has shown him everything he does. The Father will show him even greater things, and you will be amazed. Just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants to. The Father doesn't judge anyone, but he has made his Son the judge of everyone. The Father wants all people to honor the Son as much as they honor him. When anyone refuses to honor the Son, that is the same as refusing to honor the Father who sent him. I tell you for certain that everyone who hears my message and has faith in the one who sent me has eternal life and will never be condemned. They have already gone from death to life. I tell you for certain that the time will come, and it is already here, when all of the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen to it will live. The Father has the power to give life, and has given that same power to the Son. And he has given his Son the right to judge everyone, because he is the Son of Man. Don't be surprised. The time will come when all of the dead will hear the voice of the Son of Man, and they will come out of their graves. Everyone who has done good things will rise to life, but everyone who has done evil things will rise and be condemned. I cannot do anything on my own. The Father sent me, and he is the one who told me how to judge. I judge with fairness because I obey him, and I don't just try to please myself. If I speak for myself, there is no way to prove I am telling the truth. But there is someone else who speaks for me, and I know what he says is true. You sent messengers to John, and he told them the truth. I don't depend on what people say about me, but I tell you these things so that you may be saved. John was a lamp that gave a lot of light, and you were glad to enjoy his light for a while. But something more important than John speaks for me. I mean the things that the Father has given me to do. All of these speak for me and prove that the Father sent me. The Father who sent me also speaks for me, but you have never heard his voice or seen him face to face. You have not believed his message because you refuse to have faith in the one he sent. You search the scriptures because you think you will find eternal life in them. The scriptures tell about me, but you refuse to come to me for eternal life. I don't care about human praise, but I do know that none of you love God. I have come with my Father's authority, and you have not welcomed me. But you will welcome people who come on their own. How could you possibly believe? You like to have your friends praise you, and you don't care about the praise that the only God can give. Don't think that I will be the one to accuse you to the Father. You have put your hope in Moses, yet he is the very one who will accuse you. Moses wrote about me, and if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. But if you don't believe what Moses wrote, how can you believe what I say?
John, chapter 6.
Jesus crossed Lake Galilee, which was also known as Lake Tiberias. A large crowd had seen him work miracles to heal the sick, and those people went with him. It was almost time for the Jewish festival of Passover, and Jesus went up on a mountain with his disciples and sat down. When Jesus saw the large crowd coming toward him, he asked Philip,
"Where will we get enough food to feed all these people?"
He said this to test Philip, since he already knew what he was going to do.
Philip answered, "Don't you know that it would take almost a year's wages just to buy only a little bread for each of these people?"
Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the disciples. He spoke up and said, "There is a boy here who has 5 small loaves of barley bread and 2 fish, but what good is that with all these people?"
The ground was covered with grass, and Jesus told his disciples to have everyone sit down. About 5,000 men were in the crowd. Jesus took the bread in his hands and gave thanks to God. Then he passed the bread to the people, and he did the same with the fish, until everyone had plenty to eat. The people ate all they wanted, and Jesus told his disciples to gather up the leftovers so that nothing would be wasted. The disciples gathered them up and filled 12 large baskets with what was left over from the 5 barley loaves.
After the people had seen Jesus work this miracle, they began saying, "This must be the prophet who is to come into the world."
Jesus realized that they would try to force him to be their king, so he went up on a mountain where he could be alone. That evening, Jesus' disciples went down to the lake. They got into a boat and started across for Capernaum. Later that evening, Jesus had still not come to them, and a strong wind was making the water rough. When the disciples had rowed for 3 or 4 miles,
they saw Jesus walking on the water.
He kept coming closer to the boat, and they were terrified.
But he said, "I am Jesus. Don't be afraid."
The disciples wanted to take him into the boat, but suddenly the boat reached the shore where they were headed.
The people who had stayed on the east side of the lake knew that only one boat had been there. They also knew that Jesus had not left in it with his disciples.
But the next day, some boats from Tiberias sailed near the place where the crowd had eaten the bread for which the Lord had given thanks. They saw that Jesus and his disciples had left. Then they got into the boats and went to Capernaum to look for Jesus.
They found him on the west side of the lake and asked, "Rabbi, when did you get here?"
Jesus answered, "I tell you for certain, you are not looking for me because you saw the miracles, but because you ate all the food you wanted. Don't work for food that spoils. Work for food that gives eternal life. The Son of Man will give you this food, because God the Father has given him the right to do so."
"What exactly does God want us to do?" the people asked.
Jesus answered, "God wants you to have faith in the one he sent."
They replied, "What miracle will you work so that we can have faith in you? What will you do?"
"For example, when our ancestors were in the desert, they were given manna to eat. It happened just as the scriptures say, God gave them bread from heaven to eat."
Jesus then told them, "I tell you for certain that Moses wasn't the one who gave you bread from heaven. My Father is the one who gives you the true bread from heaven. And the bread that God gives is the one who came down from heaven to give life to the world."
The people said, "Lord, give us this bread and don't ever stop."
Jesus replied, "I am the bread that gives life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. No one who has faith in me will ever be thirsty. I have told you already that you have seen me and still do not have faith in me. Everything and everyone that the Father has given me will come to me, and I won't turn any of them away. I didn't come from heaven to do what I want. I came to do what the Father wants me to do. He sent me, and he wants to make certain that none of the ones he has given me will be lost. Instead, he wants me to raise them to life on the last day. My Father wants everyone who sees the Son to have faith in him and to have eternal life. Then I will raise them to life on the last day."
The people started grumbling because Jesus had said he was the bread that had come down from heaven. They were asking each other,
"Isn't he Jesus, the son of Joseph? Don't we know his father and mother? How can he say that he's come down from heaven?"
Jesus told them, "Stop grumbling. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me makes them want to come. But if they do come, I will raise them to life on the last day. One of the prophets wrote, 'God will teach all of them.' And so everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him will come to me. The only one who has seen the Father is the one who has come from him. No one else has ever seen the Father. I tell you for certain that everyone who has faith in me has eternal life. I am the bread that gives life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert, and later they died. But the bread from heaven has come down, so that no one who eats it will ever die. I am that bread from heaven. Everyone who eats it will live forever. My flesh is the life-giving bread that I give to the people of this world.
They started arguing with each other and asked, how can he give us his flesh to eat?
Jesus answered, I tell you for certain that you won't live unless you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man. But if you do eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have eternal life, and I will raise you to life on the last day. My flesh is the true food, and my blood is the true drink. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you are one with me, and I am one with you. The living Father sent me, and I have life because of him. Now everyone who eats my flesh will live because of me. The bread that comes down from heaven isn't like what your ancestors ate. They died, but whoever eats this bread will live forever.
Jesus was teaching in a Jewish place of worship in Capernaum when he said these things.
Many of Jesus' disciples heard him and said, "This is too hard for anyone to understand."
Jesus knew that his disciples were grumbling, so he asked,
"Does this bother you? What if you should see the Son of Man go up to heaven where he came from? The Spirit is the one who gives life. Human strength can do nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are from that life-giving Spirit. But some of you refuse to have faith in me."
Jesus said this because from the beginning he knew who would have faith in him. He also knew which one would betray him. Then Jesus said,
"You cannot come to me unless the Father makes you want to come. That is why I have told these things to all of you."
Because of what Jesus said, many of his disciples turned their backs on him and stopped following him. Jesus then asked his 12 disciples if they were going to leave him. Simon Peter answered,
"Lord, there's no one else we can go to. Your words give eternal life. We have faith in you, and we are sure that you are God's only one."
Jesus told his disciples, "I chose all 12 of you, but one of you is a demon."
Jesus was talking about Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. He would later betray Jesus, even though he was one of the 12 disciples.